Normal's former city manager has retired but is still speaking out, and he has a warning. Mark Peterson wrote an article for a professional journal that was rejected as too strongly worded. He rewrote it, but eventually just pulled it. Over 30 years with the town, Peterson says he's seen a decline in compromise by elected officials at the state and federal level and weaker partnerships with state and federal governments. He says that's affecting local governments and residents. He says there's less ability for local government to meet citizen expectations for service.
And that's due to, I think, some fundamental changes in the funding model, the traditional funding model used by government. That model just doesn't work like it did 15 or 20 years ago. And government is always slow to react and slow to change. And therefore, you read it everywhere. I don't know of any local government anywhere in the country that isn't having budget problems, and some more than others. But part of that is the model in which most of us subscribe to. Most, when I say us, I'm talking about local governments, to provide basic services to the
sales taxes.
Well, that's part of it, but it's other taxes as well that have been eroded in some cases by actions of the state or federal government, in some cases by just changes in behavior and changes in technology. For example, many cities collect a significant amount of money from telephone usage. That applies to landlines. It doesn't apply to cell phones. Huh. And obviously, landlines are declining, you know, exponentially every year, and that has affected the revenue source. And in Illinois, the state legislature made some fundamental changes to how local governments tax electricity, which we always have had a franchise tax and electricity tax, and now consequently that revenue source brings in far less revenue than it used to. And then the big one is sales tax. That's the big one.
You wrote in an unpublished article that the two-party system is failing, and that's likely to have a catastrophic consequence on the lives of residents who choose to live in a city or a town. We'll get to that, but first let's talk about the article. Why write it? How did that come about? And why is it unpublished?
Yeah, I was asked for one of the professional associations of which I am still a member and have been for years, they asked me to put together some thoughts on the state of government and the fact that I've been a player in government for 35 years and have had kind of a unique opportunity to watch it and study it and see what changes are occurring. And we're at a point right now in government, and I'm talking primarily at the state and federal level, although to some degree at the local level, where we're seeing some fundamental changes in how government operates. And they are kind of, in my mind, uncharted waters and disturbing. And so they asked me to put some thoughts together, which I did. They've not published the piece yet, and I'm not sure if they will. I think in part because it was pretty direct, and I think there's some concern that some constituents of that organization might find it to be offensive a little bit. It wasn't intended to be. It was more intended to just be my observations about what's happening in this country.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about some of the things that are on your mind. They did, of course, ask you to break a few dishes on your way out the door.
Yes.
But they decided there were just maybe you broke the stove and the refrigerator too. I don't know.
I guess because they did say don't hold back. Yeah. But when I didn't, I think they got a little uncomfortable. But so, that's okay.
So can you cite some examples of this failure of the two-party system on the national and state level? Are you talking about gridlock, the ability to get anything done? Maybe we can talk about pensions at the state level, all those things?
Yeah, you've hit, it's gridlock. It's the inability to address complex problems that are desperate for a solution. A pension's a great one here in our own state of Illinois. There is no debate that the lack of funding or lack of funding of our public pension systems is a huge problem, and it's growing every day, and we need to solve it. We need to fix the problem, yet there is complete paralysis in our state legislature. They're not even talking about it right now. Right. It's not even discussed because there are other probably maybe less critical problems that they can't even come to grips with, let alone trying to solve the problems associated with public pensions. So that's an example. And I say two-party, but it really goes beyond party. It's almost ideology. And it's what I see this extremism that is occurring, particularly at the state and federal level when you talk about the legislatures, but also I think we're beginning to see a little bit of it sometimes at the local level as well. But this extremism where somebody has bought into a certain ideological perspective and they are completely unwilling to compromise. And that's the foundation of the legislative process is compromise. That without compromise, it cannot work. And there are members of Congress, members probably of the Illinois General Assembly, who said, I will not compromise, and frankly are proud of it. And they, when they run for re-election, they talk about how I didn't sell out, I didn't compromise. They would rather shut government down than compromise. And that's disastrous, potentially, because when you look at things like immigration reform and, you know, we just went through this tax reform issue, which was basically, you know, a single party driven initiative, healthcare reform.
Infrastructure, which we'll get to in a moment.
Huge.
So it's not rocket science, is it? The solution in Springfield, details aside, it's pretty simple to solve the budget problem, isn't it? I mean, on the surface, right? It's going to take. You tell me, what would it
well,
take?
Well, I wouldn't say it's simple.
I mean, it's painful.
It's painful, and it's complex, and it's going to require, you know, people working hard to come up with solutions, but it is solvable.
But it's solvable. It's revenue, it's cuts.
Yes.
It's both.
It's both.
Over a long period of time.
Yes, it's both over a long period of time.
And that's what I meant by simple.
Because we have ignored the problem for so long, that is why it is going to be painful, but it is straightforward. These are, as you said, it's not nuclear physics or rocket science. It's inflow and outflow. And so you've got to, in the case of the state of Illinois, we've got to reduce expenses. In some cases, I've said that means good programs are going to have to go, even though they're good, valuable programs and so forth. And then we've got to figure out a way to raise revenue. And then we have to have the discipline to stay the course for maybe a decade or so. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll be back to a situation where we're financially healthy.
Mark Peterson, congratulations on your retirement from the town of Normal, and thanks for your public service.
Thank you, Mike.
Peterson says there is a ray of hope. He says Illinois does have some creative and committed lawmakers at both the state and federal levels. Peterson, who retired as the town of Normal city manager at the end of March, says one positive of state and federal government dysfunction is local government will be more hesitant to take on projects that could be considered sprawl. He says roads and distant subdivisions cost communities. He also said future community comprehensive plans should plan for less robust state and federal partnerships. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.